It's a Thursday morning across Wisconsin, and not from the Lake Wissota studio, but from our Capitol Bureau. This is Pat Whitelow from North News. Kristen Conway joins us this hour, State Assembly candidate in the 85th District and Alder from Schofield. And we've been talking a bit about what led her to join the race and try to change the representation in the State Assembly and maybe get a legislature, not just that works for more in Wisconsin, but actually works, that works for a living. Now, again, Kristen, we know that you know, a legislature taking a 10-month break, you know, isn't at the top of mind for most voters. Although, once you make a connection with them and you slide that in at some point, I'm betting you get some double takes from people.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny because my sister is pretty, she follows politics pretty closely. When I said that to her, she was like, what? Why didn't I know that? And she said, I follow stuff. I watch news, I listen to it, and I didn't know that. And I said, yeah, unless it's something that is, you know, pointed out, it's not pointed in the mainstream news that you see.
Right. So you eventually get to that, but first, you know, there's things that people want to hear about or want to tell you about. So whether you've been at the doors or dinners or other events, what in your mind are the things that are on the minds of most of your voters?
Well, obviously, global inflation and the cost of literally everything has been rising. It's, you know, I've got 4 kids, so I definitely feel that when I go to the grocery store. That's one thing that everyone is talking about. Education, I think a lot of people are realizing, like, I don't think it's a secret anymore that the agenda for one faction of the government is to defund and privatize education. And I think people are starting to see that and realize that. That's something that a lot of people are talking about. And Roe v. Wade has really come in. Just yesterday, I knocked on somebody's door and, you know, gave my little, hi, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. And she said, I'm voting Democrat because this is BS. She said, you know, this is, I'm not childbearing age anymore, but my kids are, and they don't have a choice anymore. So I'm done. I'm voting Democrat the whole way. And so I reminded her that I was the only pro-choice candidate on the ballot. So,
and it's a trend that we've talked about. We are going to continue to talk about as long as it exists, and it's still existing, that Wisconsin is one of those states that has an immense gender gap between the number of men who are becoming first-time voters and the number of women who are becoming first-time voters. And they are getting involved in large part, not because abortion is their number one issue, but the right to control their own body. And for them and their daughters and granddaughters, sure is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My son I'm taking him to college tomorrow. He turned 18 and was excited to go register to vote when he turned 18 in March, which, you know, thinking back, I turned 18 in the mid 90s and I don't think I registered to vote right away. It wasn't just on my mind, but it is now, especially this generation. My oldest two are 17 and 18. And they're very comfortable with, you know, people with transgender, and, you know, they have friends who are gay, they have friends who are transgender, and they don't understand, well, why is this suddenly a big deal? And I keep telling them, it's really not, it shouldn't be, but it's being made a big deal. It's being made this issue in order to distract everybody from the crumbling roads and the failing schools. And yeah.
Well, and I think they recognize that a lot of their midterm losses 4 years ago, Scott Walker included, was over bread and butter issues like fixing the damn roads. So instead of doing that, again, because they've put themselves on a 10-month paid vacation, you keep coming back to either social issues or other things that are meant to distract. And of course, the biggest among them is the 2020 election results. As you're talking to folks, especially when you're meeting people for the very first time and knocking doors, so they're not like, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democratic Party volunteers or anything, to what degree do you still see folks who are believing or suspecting that there was this fraud that didn't exist in 2020?
I'm not seeing that a lot, but again, I'm knocking on very specific doors. Mm-hmm. So I did have a few people who have mentioned, you know, one of my campaign t-shirts says, stop giving Gableman money. So I have seen people that have mentioned that, like, why are we giving this guy money still? but again, it's those are the people that I'm choosing to go talk to. I have met a few people who have, you know, started talking about how the election was rigged, and I just say, I disagree with you. Thank you very much. You know, just that's not, I don't try, I just don't try to engage with that. I just don't, I'm not seeing it.
No. And again, that's, I mean, not your job to, you know, undo everything that Donald right. Trump has and his, you know, many minions have done, but I did want to get a sense of, you know, the kinds of things you were hearing. So when you talk about to these folks, the importance of voting and that they are a rather specific audience. When I think specific audience, I am thinking of people who either are Democratic voters, they lean Democrats, they're true independents, but they only seem to vote in presidential election years. And they don't recognize the importance of these midterms, which is when we elect a governor, not to mention all the spring elections. I mean, they're people who just vote once every 4 years. Are you running into some of that, and are they understanding more the importance of voting in other elections besides the presidential?
I think so. I really think so. I've mentioned several times, but again, our April elections were really a wake up call, because I do truly believe that this area, if everybody who was eligible to vote were to vote, would be largely Democratic. I just have that feeling in my heart, because I've lived in this community. I just think it's getting people out there. And I think, you know, my husband, like I said, he lost his election in April. And after looking at the numbers, his opponent got the same number of votes both times, the election he won and the election he lost. The difference was that people didn't turn out to vote for him. So I really think that people are seeing now that it is very important. Local elections do matter. Whoever is in charge of your school board and your county board, those decisions are the not the most important, but they affect your day-to-day lives.
Kristen Conway is our guest, state assembly candidate in the 85th district, joining us from Schofield. And as we talk about those local elections, and again, I want to emphasize these were local elections in April, and yet the amount of outside money that is coming into some of these local races for school board especially, but also for county boards in certain cases, and even city councils, is rather striking. We know how much the rules have been, you know, completely overhauled to the point where they're nearly non-existent. But certainly from my distance out in Chippewa County, it was still noticeable how much outside money and how many outside players were coming in to those local elections around your area. So I've got to think they're going to be hard at work again, outside money coming in to races like yours.
Right, exactly. I think the candidates for school board here raised more money than I have so far. I mean, that's an insane amount of money to raise for a local school board. But what we saw here, at least, was I think there were three candidates that ran together. All of their advertising was together. I don't know if they pooled their money, which is a newer trend. I don't think we've seen that here, at least here, before. But yeah, it is frightening the amount of money that is coming in.
Well, sure, as they run as a block or a team or whatever you want to call it, while technically there's nothing wrong with it, it does tell you what trend we're going in, when it used to be, you know, I'm Kristen Conway, I want to get more involved, so I'm going to run for city council or school board or county board. And now it's blocks getting together, and now it's basically nonpartisan in name only. And I'm bringing this up just to again emphasize that not only are those spring elections becoming more important and unfortunately more partisan, but it only emphasizes the need for people to vote down ballot this year. They will vote for or against Ron Johnson. They will vote for or against Tony Evers. And then, sadly, there is such a drop off down ballot, people that may not vote for Secretary of State, may not vote for State Attorney General, even though those are important roles, and may not vote for their state legislator. And granted, a lot of people couldn't tell you off the top of their head who their state legislator is. But we can debate the merits of that another time. Still, the importance of going down there and learning about the candidates has got to be critical. But I guess, Kristen, now that I've plugged that people come down ballot and vote for your race, I'm going to turn it around on you and say, what are the conversations like when it turns to the race for governor and the race for U.S. Senate? Are people rather motivated or not?
Yeah, I'm getting the sense that it's, you know, everything is so hyper partisan right now, where people are either, it seems to me the most people are one side or the other. I have met a lot of people who are labeled who call themselves independent. They say they vote for a person, not a party. And those people are great to talk to. I really like to have deep conversations with them about why it's important to vote, you know, for me or for Governor Evers, you know, looking at what their issues are. You know, I talked to one gentleman who said he was really concerned about education. And so we talked about how education and how we can't afford to keep funding to two school systems, and how funneling the money into the voucher schools is really hurting our private schools. And so that was an interesting, and again, it's not just myself doing that. It's, you know, protecting Governor Evers with his almighty veto pen, who has prevented a lot of, frankly, horrible bills that were passed in the assembly this year that Governor Evers vetoed.
And that will be the platform of what does pass early next year if Tim Michaels were to defeat him. I'm glad you brought up the two right. school systems. It does not get talked about nearly enough. When once upon a time, maybe your local religious school, private school, what have you, you know, was a local option. But again, much like the local elections, it's now some kind of a unified, you know, force that it has become essentially a second school system that is ripping money away from public schools. And I think, again, that's one of those things where when you get to talk to people at the doors, it really becomes a great opportunity to just have a civics conversation with people there. I think they actually appreciate somebody who cares and has looked into some of these things and can share that information in a conversational manner. I certainly found it one of the most enjoyable parts of being a state senator. And I would think you wouldn't still be doing this if it didn't have its positive moments as a legislative candidate.
Right. You know, and I just did a letter to the editor not that long ago because my opponent said that, yeah, I could look into getting rid of property taxes. Sure. And I felt that was exactly. I know. So I wrote a letter to the editor and said, that's great to say that. And I agree. Our property taxes are too high. But you can't just say that you're going to do that when our property taxes in Wisconsin fund literally everything.
Right.
You know, looking at, and so explaining to people, like, yes, our property taxes are the 10th highest in the nation, but we also get, you know, that's how our schools and our roads are funded in Wisconsin. So you can't do that without looking at an alternate revenue source. You can't just say, I'm going to lower all the property taxes or get rid of it completely. That's really disingenuous and really. I was so angry about that. Like, yeah, that's great to say during an election, but it's not feasible.
It's great that you didn't let him get away with that. To respond that right. your response, you know, is either, you know, Pat Snyder, what is your plan? What is your plan then to fund the roads right. and everything else? Or just come right out and say the second half of that you actually would like to, you know, end the property tax and, you know, just strangle and starve the rest of public services and privatize them, you know, take a stand one way or the other. As we start to wrap things up, Kristen, how do people reach you? You want to give a plug for a Facebook page or a website?
Oh, sure. Yeah. My everything is Conway for the 85th. The website is conwayforthe85th.com. That's my Facebook page. I'm on Instagram, the same. I do have a couple of events coming up. I have a trivia event, which I have a weird obsession with some pop culture, like Pearl Jam, for example.
Ah, nice.
So the trivia is going to be partially political and partially my weird obsession with some pop culture. That's coming up. I do have Mandy Wright is hosting and Mayor Rosenberg are hosting a party for me at the end of September. So,
excellent.
Yeah, but I'm my Facebook, everything has my platforms right on it because I believe that's honest.
And that's refreshing, actually. Kristen Conway, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
We will be back to wrap up this hour's conversation next. You're up north.